God's recipe for an abundant life. And the Bible says in John 10:10, the second part of it, if you'd like to turn there, you can. If not, I'll just read it to you. There's going to be lots of verses, and I would recommend writing them down and looking these up and things like that and coincide, because the Bible does say in John 10:10, the second part, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so, of course, God wants us to have life, not death, and we'll see that in just a minute. And so, in coming up with a title, it could have been entitled, That's Life. Sometimes we may have been told that by our parents growing up. When we're complaining, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And your parents may lovingly say, hey, that's just life. You're going to have to deal with it. And then we might have been told this by people that, if we're not up to par or we're not, in the in or in the know, we might have been told, get a life. hopefully that you haven't been told that before, but, get a life. We've all seen maybe the movie around Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life. Him running up and down the streets and, thanking the Lord for everything, Bedford Falls and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, we are going to entitle it the God's Recipe for an Abundant Life. And so we're going to have a little introduction here, and then we'll get into the main points. And so I'm just going to give you a statement and then back it up with the Bible. All right. And give you some verses that you can write down these references and look it up. But God is life, and God is in control of life, is my opening statement. God is life. If you don't have God, you're basically going to be dying and going to hell, of course. And so you'll experience death forever. But if you have God, you have life. And we're going to obviously get into that in a few minutes. But He's also in control of life. And I'll give you a couple verses to back it up. The first one, God gives life in Genesis 2:7. It says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Of course, we know that this is talking about Adam, and God had spent 6 days creating the earth and all the things that are in it and so forth. And then he saved, if we want to say it, the best for last, and then gave us dominion over all the rest of it. But as far as humans, mankind, he was formed out of the dust of the ground, and he was just laying there. But he did not have life, but God gave him life. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I've heard many preachers say this, because they'll hear people say, well, God doesn't have anything for me. I don't know why I'm even here. I don't know why I'm existing. And the litmus test, if God has something for you, is to breathe in and then breathe out. Inhale, exhale. And if you're doing that, God has a purpose for you. He gave you those inhaling and exhaling, that breath of life. And so He gave you that for a reason, just like He did Adam there that day. Genesis 7:22 says this, "And all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in dry land died." And of course we know this is getting around to the point where God is fed up with humans. They've turned their back on Him. They've chosen to not trust Him and not live for Him, things like that. And everybody did just evil. Is what the Bible said, and He's like, okay, I'm fed up with it, and He caused the flood to come, and so the ones that did not get in the boat, and we know, or the ark, and we know it was just Noah and his family, and the rest of them, God was in control of life, and He allowed them to die. And so Leviticus 17:11 says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." And of course, we could scientifically talk about that a little bit, how that our blood comes from our Father and so forth and things like that. And of course, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar and to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so, of course, God is in control of life. He gave it to us, and then He showed us how to have a redeemed life so we could live forever, and that's through His Son's blood. Last one I'll give you is Job 2:6. Job 2:6, and it says this, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So God allowed, obviously, this temptation and all these tragedies to come into Job's life, but He would not allow Satan to take his life. So God is in control of life. He created it. He blew the breath of life into our nostrils, and then He allows, obviously, death to happen, and He allows life to happen. So He's in control of it. So number one, we see here God gives life. Number two, introduction, God gives you a choice. He gave you your life, but then He also gave you a choice. And I'm going to give you a couple verses here. 1 John 5:12, and it says this, and it's plain as day. Religion has tried to muddy it and mess it up and so forth, and then other people have tried to give their opinion, things like that. But God gives you a choice, and it says this in 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So it's plain as the nose on our face that God is in control of life, and He gives you a choice. He's like, all right, if you choose my Son, you'll have life, and you'll have it for eternity. You'll live forever. If you choose not my Son, you're not going to have life. You'll have your time here on this earth, and you'll die, and then you'll spend eternity in hell. So we see here, God gives us a choice. He doesn't create some for heaven and some for hell. He doesn't send anybody to hell. He gives us all that choice. Deuteronomy 30:19. We're talking about choices that God gives us. Deuteronomy 30:19 says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So God gave, from the Old Testament till now, God gave them a choice. And of course, they were chosen, or they had the choice. And He says, look, I've told you, here's life, my Son. And of course, in the Old Testament, they had to look forward by faith to what Jesus was going to do on the cross. And now we look backwards by faith at what Jesus did on the cross. So He says, I've set before you life and death, your choice. God's not going to make us choose. He gave us a choice. Then He says here, if you live a certain way, I will bless you. If you live against that way and you choose to live contrary to that, there's going to be a curse on you. He says it's your choice. He's not going to make it. But then He says, therefore, please, I beseech you, I beg you, I hope and I wish that you choose life. Why? Because He knew that we were going to have kids. He said, I want to bless you, and I want to bless your kids, and I want to bless your grandkids. I got a video sent to my phone, I think it was yesterday. It's my oldest grandson, Colton, and he's at a state fair. And he was handed a basketball. And so he's holding the basketball. He's 5 years old. And you know, if you've ever been to a fair, it's not fair, right? They cheat. The basketball goals, they shrink them. They're not normal size. They're about this big around. And the ball can barely go through there if you hold it right over it and drop it in, because they don't want to get rid of those stuffed animals or give you a basketball. So it's not fair at the fair, okay? You just remember that. But anyway, he's sitting there, and the lady, I got it on the video, and I'll show it to you after church. The lady hands him the ball, and you can see it all over the lady's face. He's 5. It's a little bit too far for a 5-year-old. He's probably not going to get it up there. Plus, I know that those goals are shrank, and there's no way he's going to get it. So she's just sitting there, and you can just see it all over her face. All of a sudden, little homeboy shoots it, swish, and this lady goes, I mean, her mouth is this big. She could not believe, and he just like, and so she had to give him the ball. And so, again, I like that, all right? I'm a sports fanatic, but I love my grandson too, and I was like, atta boy, and he did it. And so, again, I'm glad that my dad chose to be saved and to live in a way that God could bless him. And He gave that to me. And I chose to be saved and to live in the way that God could bless me. And then, praise God, my sons chose to be saved and to live in the way that God could bless them. And I pray every day for Colton to be saved. All right? Yeah, I'm glad he can shoot a basketball, but I want him to be saved more than that and live a life where God can bless him. But it's a choice. God gives us a choice. Last verse underneath the choice. Jeremiah 21:8. Jeremiah 21:8 says this, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And so again, he puts it right there. So God is life and in control of life. He gave us life. Number two, he gives us a choice. And number three, introduction, he gives you a chance. All right? And, you know, obviously, speaking of basketball, I've played around the world before. I don't know if you've ever played that before, but you go around the foul lane there, and you shoot the basketball, and if you make it, you go back to the next hash mark, and you shoot the basketball if you make it. And then if you miss it, you can say, I want to chance it. And so then if I hit it, I get to keep going, but if I miss it, I have to go all the way back around and start over again. All right? So, again, we have chances. So God is not... like some people say, you know, he's just mean. He created some people for hell. That's not true, right? And he gives us a choice. And he hopes that we choose the right thing. But then he also gives us chances. When we blow it, he'll give us another chance. And when we blow it, he'll give us another chance. He wants us. And so he's trying to recover and restore from the beginning of our time. Isaiah 38:16 says this, O Lord, by these things men live. And all these things is the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me live. So God wants to recover. That's why he sent us his son. That's why God gave, like the prodigal son, another chance. When he came to himself, he gave him another chance. God's the God of a second chance, a third chance. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death, but only God can say when it's finished. He gives us chances. Proverbs 19:23 says this, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. God gives us a chance to tend to life. Tendeth is basically, the definition of tendeth is this, regularly behave in a particular way or have a certain characteristic about you. So God gives us a chance. He wants us to tend to life. Last one underneath this, James 4:14 says this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. So God gives us a chance to do it the right way. And if we do it the wrong way, praise the Lord for mercy. Praise the Lord for grace. Praise the Lord for a second chance. God gives us a chance. So in the introduction, we see here that God gives us life. God gives us a choice, and God gives us a chance. Now we're going to look at the recipe for abundant life, that what God says, all right, I put it out there for you. Here's the recipe for abundant life. If you choose life, it's going to be abundantly. God can make it spectacular. He can make it unbelievable. He said, I don't want you to just have life. I want you to have abundant life, and so forth. And God has blessed me. I could spend the rest of the night just bragging on God, and we all could. God has given us an abundant life. So number one underneath the recipe is this. How to have that abundant life? Give your life to God and don't take it back. Give your life to God and don't take it back. When I was growing up, if you gave somebody something but then you took it back, I don't know if this is racist or not, but they called it an Indian giver. All right? You gave it and took it back. Okay, and so forth. I don't think they gave their land. I think it was taken. But anyway, don't give God your life and then take it back. If you say, all right, I want the abundant life. He says, okay, here's how you get it. Obviously, you got to be saved. But then surrender your life to me and let me be in charge and help, and I'll bless you. And just don't take it back. We'll give you several verses underneath this. Psalm 21:4, it says there, he asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even for length of days forever and ever. So the Bible talks about how that you can, I guess, let's start this way. There's an appointment that we all have to keep. It's an appointed for a man once to die, after this is judgment. So we all have a death appointment. But then the Bible goes in and it says that we can do things to lengthen our days. There was a man that was going to die and he asked God for 10 more years and God granted it to him. He asked him for it. There's verses in the Bible that says that if we honor and obey our parents and bring honor to them, it can lengthen our days. But if we go and we displease our parents and we dishonor our parents, our days can be shortened. So we can bring that appointment time up, or we can extend it based on how we live. So he says here, he asked life of thee, thou gave it to him. And he says, because you did that, you're going to have length of days forever and ever. You're going to be blessed down here, and of course we'll be blessed up there. Matthew 10:39 says here, he that findeth his life shall lose it. Now this doesn't make sense to the non-Christian. Okay? And we're going to see several different ways, same verse, but just a few different words in it. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Again, that makes no sense unless you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He's saying here basically, you know, if you're saved and you want to please God, you know, we can't hold on to that dream of being Superman. All right? I want to be Superman when I grow up. Okay? Now, we know that's not going to happen, but I can't, you know, if we find our life, we're going to lose it. You know, I got to be this, I got to do this, I got to make this much money, I got to achieve these goals, and that's all we're looking for, and that's what's going to bring us happiness. We get it, we've lost our life. But if we lose our life, okay, God, I know you created me, you saved me, I owe you a huge debt that I can never pay, so I'm going to just lose my life in serving you and making you happy. That's where you're going to find life. Matthew 16:25. Same verse, but it changes a few words. For whosoever shall save, all right, while ago we saw findeth his life, but now we see here whoever saves his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And so, again, we see here sometimes we save something. You know, there's nothing wrong with savings account. I'm all for a savings account. I'm all for retirement plans and you're saving for the future. But I have seen people save and save and save and save and save and save. You know, they don't enjoy life. You know, they're walking around with holes in their shoes and they got plenty of money. They're just like, I don't want to spend my money. So they're getting infections in their feet. And the same way, they're walking everywhere. When they got enough money to buy a car, like, buy a car. You know, you're so tight, you squeak. You know, again, they've got it. And so, again, nothing wrong with that. But if we save our life, okay, this is my life, I'm going to save it, we're going to lose it, and we're not going to find it. Mark 8:35 says this, same verse, a few different words. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But for whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and then he adds one here, Mark does, for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So again, God gave us life and we're supposed to give it back to Him and don't take it back. And we're supposed to use it to serve Him and also serve gospel. And John, we're going to give the one more gospel here. He that loveth his life. So Matthew said findeth and save. Mark said, and the gospel's sake. John said loveth it. Whosoever loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. So, give your life to God and don't take it back. Number two, here's some things that we're supposed to keep. But we're talking about that tendeth. When you tend a garden, you keep it up. You keep the weeds out of it. You keep the fertilization in there. So you're tending that garden. You're taking care of it. So if we're going to have an abundant life, we're going to have to tend to it. So there's some things that we're supposed to keep. Keep clean. Keep weeds out of it. Keep the world out. Things like that. So second thing we're looking at, the recipe, number one was give your life to God. Don't take it back. Number two, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says here, keep thy heart with all diligence. So we know the Bible says that the heart is deceitful and, deceitful and nobody can know it. We got to watch out for it. So we got to take care of it. So the Bible says, keep it with all diligence. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we've got to take care of our heart. So out of it are the issues of life. So Ruth 4:15 says this, and he shall be unto them, or thee, a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. So we see here God is a restorer of life. So he wants you to have a great life. And of course, we already read John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants us to have abundant life. A couple other verses I'll give you before we go to the next one. Acts 2:28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make full of joy with thy countenance. And so we see here God wants to give us that life. If we'll keep our heart, He will give us that abundant life. He will make known the ways of life. He will give us joy. And it says here, with His countenance. Of course, if you're ever in trouble with your parents, you could tell. by the money maker there. You walk in and, you know, your dad got a call from the principal. You could tell. What's wrong with you, Dad? And, you know, we try to ha ha ha, make a joke. Hey, buddy, pal, you know, love you. And that face just didn't change. You could tell by the countenance. And so God's the same way. He will make known the way of life to us, and He wants us to have full joy with His countenance. If He's smiling at us, we can tell. 1 Timothy 2:2 says this, "For kings and for all are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." So God wants us to have a peaceable life. And the only way to live it, or to have it, is to live godly and honestly. One more, 2 Peter 1:3. "According to His divine power hath He given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. He hath called us to glory and to virtue." So God gave us that. So God wants us to take care of the things that He's given us. And He warns us of things that will take our life. Again, in our world, we teach young people, obey the speed limit, don't drive reckless. Why? Because we know that that could take their life. We warn them against alcohol. We warn them against drugs. And we warn them against things that could take their life. And we warn them. You know, again, I had curfews. I had restrictions and things like that. And my parents were trying to keep me alive. And so God warns us. He says, hey, watch out. Satan will try to take your life. And, if, of course, we know that he would have taken Job's life if God would have let him. So other things that might take our life. Wealth can take our life away from us. Hey, people love wealth. And, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And they want money. They want that money. They want money. And it just sucks the life out of them. This world and its philosophy can suck the life right out of us. So wealth in the world. And of course, if we're a fellow, it could be women. If we're a woman, it could be a man. The opposite sex can steal the life. And it talks about pleasure and sin for a season. And then it talks about, you know, if a person commits adultery, they destroy their own soul. So, I mean, they have that experience, that fun, that excitement, and then reality hits them. Sucks the life right out of us. So God warns us of those things that will take the life from you. And God leaves those some things to you. And in Proverbs 11:19 says this, "As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth his own death." And Proverbs 14:30, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy rottenness of the bones." So we're supposed to keep our heart. And there was one other keep that I forgot to read to you. I'm sorry. Number one was give your life to God. Don't take it back. Number two is keep your heart. Number three, keep instruction. Keep instruction. God wants us to do this. He said, all right, I want you to have life. Give me your life. Don't take it back. And keep your heart. Guard your heart. Watch out for those things that will steal life from you. Then also keep instruction. And several verses under this one. Proverbs 6:23 says this, For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. None of us like to be reproved. You know, again, if you get pulled over from a police officer, most of the time our attitude is just quit lecturing me and give me the ticket and let me go. because we don't like to be instructed. When we were children, we didn't like for our parents to instruct us. I know. And we wanted to be treated like an adult, but we hadn't earned that right yet. So none of us like instruction, but we all need it. And it says right here, reproofs of instruction is the way to life. And so when we have a bad spirit and we get reproved by the Holy Spirit, or if we're doing something wrong and we get reproved by the Word of God, or if we're doing something wrong and somebody that is older than us or maybe our boss reproves us, we don't like it, but it says here, this is the way of life. So just put in our brain, keep instruction. I'm going to have to be told what to do. Proverbs 10:17 says this, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth." So, and we've seen them. I've worked with people like this. No boss is going to tell me what to do. and they get fired, and so forth. If they refuse it, they're going to err. They're going to make mistakes. Kids, again, a godly parent, should instruct and should instruct with the right spirit and correctly, not abuse, things like that. But we all have to take the reproof and the instruction. Proverbs 15:31, it says here, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." So we have to hear that reproof. So keep instruction. Last one, Proverbs 4:22. It says here, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all the flesh." What is that talking about? It's talking about wisdom. It's talking about instruction. They are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Again, I think a proper spirit, a proper attitude. Again, if you have the flu, you can't think yourself healthy. But you can let it run its course. You can take medicine, things like that. But a lot of times, if we have the right spirit, have the right mindset, it's health. If we've messed up, if we've not kept our heart, we've not kept instruction, obviously it's going to suck the life right out of us. Number four, again, we ought to keep our heart. We understand that. Keep instruction. We understand that. And these are hard to do. Here's one that's very hard to do. Keep your mouth. Keep your mouth. Again, I've had tape over my mouth before because I couldn't keep it shut. And all right, tape. Right, I've opened mouth and inserted foot before. We have to keep our mouth. And so if we want to be happy and have an abundant life, we're going to have to keep our mouth. Proverbs 13:3 says this, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." You picture, some humongous guy and some little peepsqueak. The peepsqueak would have been still alive if he hadn't told the big dude that he could whoop him. If he just kept his mouth shut. As a youth director, I used to talk to 7th graders all the time. 7th graders, 6th graders that have come up to the youth group, now they're 7th grade. Then you got 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th above them. I told the 7th graders all the time, my best piece of advice for you, be seen and not heard. All right? Seen and not heard. I had a 7th grader come, and he went to camp with us. I may have told you this before. But he came in, and I told him, I was like, I won't call his name. I was like, this is what you need to do. Be seen and not heard. There's upperclassmen. There's older guys in here. They've all earned their stripes, if you want to call it, earned their spurs, things like that. They've went through the line and so forth and things like that. They've done what they're supposed to do. But the best thing for a 7th grader is just be seen and not heard. Keep your mouth closed. So he came to camp, and he comes rolling in his suitcases, and they had little padlocks on them. He had one suitcase for all of his clothes, obviously, for the week. The second suitcase was full of snacks. I mean, it had, gummy worms, it had Snickers, it had Gatorade, it had beef jerky. I mean, his mom had hooked him up. And so he announced to the whole youth group, I've got padlocks on my suitcase, so you can't prank me, you can't hide my underclothes for the week, and you can't have my snacks because I've got them all padlocked. So I come into the dorm one night, and there he is, padlocked to his bunk bed. And some of his snacks were gone and things like that. So I was like, dude, if you'd have just kept your mouth closed, all right, keep your mouth closed. I can't be everywhere, so I couldn't protect you. So if you'd have just kept your mouth closed, you wouldn't have got pranked. All right? So anyway, keep your mouth. It says here, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Again, running off the mouth, I'll tell you what, you shouldn't. Proverbs 15:4 says this, a wholesome tongue is the tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. So we've got to keep our mouth. Talk about honest things. Talk about wholesome things. Talk about things, what the Bible says, of good report and so forth. Think on these things. Talk about those things. So a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. Another verse you can write down, 1 Peter 3:10. 1 Peter 3:10, it says this, for he that love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. and his lips that they speak no guile. So plain as day here in the Bible, if we want to have life and have it more abundantly, we're going to have to keep our mouth, keep it closed. It's always a good time to hush sometimes. The Bible says that
it's better to keep your mouth closed and have people think that you're an idiot than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
That's a little bit biblical, because it says that a fool uttereth everything. This is blah, 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 running off at the mouth. But a wise man conceals the matter, keeps it till afterwards, and so forth. So keeping our mouth will help us to have life. And that last one there was 1 Peter 3:10. If we love life and we want to see good days, refrain the tongue from evil and don't let our lips speak guile. So we keep our mouth. Number five, as far as recipe for abundant life, keep wisdom. Keep wisdom. Proverbs 8:35 says this, "Whoso findeth me." And of course, if you look in the book of Proverbs, it's mostly talking about wisdom. And so anytime it has seeketh her, like hidden treasure, obviously that her is talking about wisdom. And same thing here, "Whosoever findeth me, findeth life, and obtain favor of the Lord." So if we find wisdom and keep wisdom, we can have life. Proverbs 15:24. "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." So of course we can all see this. Wisdom, we look at the two choices. He says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." A wise person would choose the Son. There's blessing and there's cursing. You live right, and according to the Word of God, there's blessing. You live wrong and go against the Word of God, there's going to be cursing. A wise person would choose the blessing. So we see the way of life is above to the wise. I choose all these choices that God gives me, and that's why I have an abundant life. But also I need to depart from hell beneath. So we keep wisdom. Number six, keep righteousness. Keep righteousness. Proverbs 12:28. "The way of righteousness is life, and the pathway thereof there is no death." So if I want to have an abundant life, I need to keep righteousness. And it says right there, it's the way of life, and there's no death in it. Proverbs 21:21 says this, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor." So we have to keep righteousness. And God will bless us if we live righteously. Again, there's so many people that go through life and they say, "Well, you know, being a Christian, there's just too many of these do's and don'ts." Okay? And they're always like trying to find loopholes to get around the do and get around the don't, things like that. And they're miserable. But if they say, "Hey, look, I just want to live righteously. I want to be blessed of God. And so I'm not going to try to find loopholes. I'm just going to try my best to obey the Bible. I'm going to try to honor God in everything I think, say, do, act, and keep righteousness." Why? Because it says here, the way of righteousness is the way of life. And there's no pathway to death. And if you follow after that, you're going to find life. You're going to find righteousness. You're going to find honor. Second to the last, keep your mind. Keep your mind. And, they say, "My mind is, I miss it the most." But anyway, we need to keep our mind. Romans 8:6 says this, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life." Right there in the Bible. So if we're always thinking carnally, what appeases the flesh, what makes me happy, what makes my friends happy, things like that, and we're carnally minded, how can I get a laugh, or how can I fit in, and how can I, it's always carnal, 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 carnal. No, spiritual minded, how can I do what's best? How can I please God? How can I live in a way that will please Him? We're going to have life and we're going to have peace if we keep our mind. We ought to have certain mindsets. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It says that He set His face like a flint. In other words, the Lord had a mindset. He set His face like a flint. He that was set before Him was the cross. And He's like, I'm going to go pay for the sins of the world. I'm going to go and make it possible for everybody to go to heaven. He had that mindset. He said, "I didn't come down here to do my will. I came down here to do the will of God." That was Jesus' mindset. So we can have a mindset. And Proverbs 22:4 says this, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So my mindset ought to be I'm going to be humble. And then I'm also going to fear the Lord. That's my mindset. I want to be humble. I don't want to be prideful. I want to fear the Lord. I don't want to make Him upset with me. That's going to bring riches, honor, and life. Another mindset, Luke 14, 26. This is a tough one. It says here, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. So, now, again, I believe what God's saying here is we don't hate our parents. We don't hate our wife. We don't hate our brothers and sisters. But what He's saying is that our love for Him in comparison to our love for all these other people ought to be like hate. In other words, He says in Colossians 1:18 that He wants preeminence. He wants to be first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if we want to have an abundant life, we got to have the mindset that I love God more than my dad. I love God more than my mom. I love God more than my wife or husband, more than our kids. And again, that's tough to do. But we see that if we want to have life and have it more abundantly, that's the mindset that we ought to have. And God will help us do that. We ought to love Him. And again, in loving God, it's great when your dad's saved. He has that same opinion. Son, I love you, but I love God more. So we're on the same page. My wife, having a Christian wife, a wife that's on her way to heaven, a wife that wants to serve God. I love you, honey, but I love God more. She understands why, because she's the same way. You tell your kids, I love you, but I love God more. You have that mindset. It's in Luke 14:26. Another one, James 1:12. James 1:12, talk about mindsets. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So you got to have a mindset, whatever temptation comes at me, whatever the devil throws at me, whatever the world throws at me, whatever my own flesh throws at me, I'm going to endure it. You got to have that mindset. If you're just going through life and not having that mindset, wham, your flesh is going to hit you. Wham, the world's going to get you. The devil's going to get you. So we got to have that mindset that I'm going to endure temptation. Why? It says this, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, and the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. So we have the right mindset that when temptation comes, I'm resisting. When temptation comes, I'm choosing the way of escape. When temptation comes, I'm resisting it. Okay? If I have that right mindset, the Bible says God's going to give us a crown of life. He'll bless us down here. He'll bless us up there. In conclusion, it says here, if you do your part, God will come through with these things right here. So my part is what? All right, I'm going to give my life to God, not take it back. Okay, I'm going to keep my heart. I'm going to keep my mouth. I'm going to keep my mind. I'm going to keep righteousness. I'm going to keep instruction. I'm going to do all that. If I do those, because the Bible says I didn't come to give life, but I came to give life and give it more abundantly. And the only way you can get it more abundantly is if you keep all these things. So in conclusion, we see here Psalm 23:6 says this. If I do all that, here's a great promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, surely goodness and mercy, there's a song about that. It shall follow me all the days of my life. I want that. I want goodness. I want mercy. I want to be blessed of God, and I want to be in His house forever. So, I have to keep all those things. Proverbs 3:2 says this, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Again, I want to live my life. I want to go to heaven, but I don't guess I want to go tonight. We had a bus captain did that. He pulled up to a young boy that was playing. I think he was playing with Hot Wheel cars on the sidewalk, and he said, "Hey, you want to go to heaven?" And the kid said, "No." Like, wow, that was shocking. And come to find out, he thought that the guy was getting a busload to go right then.
All right, and he didn't want to go to heaven right then. And so he wanted to live his life. I'm that way. I want to live my life to the fullest. I want surely goodness and mercy to follow me and God to bless me. I want those length of days. And I want to have peace, things like that. So the recipe for this is to keep all these things. And all these things will help you in your Christian life. But we could go right back to the beginning and start again. And these things will help you in your married life. And some people are like, well, our marriage is rocky, or we're this, that, and the other. Just go right back to these promises. Best thing you can do in your marriage a lot of times is to keep your mouth. If you wouldn't, keep your mouth. Keep our heart. Right? We're supposed to love them. We promised that we would. So we could go back through all these recipes to have an abundant life in our Christian life, but we also can have an abundant life in our married life. I was going to say, you know, she's not perfect, but she's pretty close, okay? And she's looking. She knew I was fixing to say something about her. She's pretty close. Our life is blessed when we keep our mouths, we keep our hearts, things like that. And then also we have what we might call, other than our Christian life, our ministry life. Our ministry life. We're left down here to be a light, to be salt. To help preserve this world, to help reach this world, things like that. If we'll do all these things, it'll help us in our ministry life too. I guess they were in prison. Nobody likes to be in prison. But these men, they were in prison and they were singing hymns. At midnight, they were singing. And then the angel came and broke open the doors and all the chains fell off and the guard thought they all left. But they hadn't. We're still here. Don't hurt yourself. Right? And so they had lived in a way and kept their mouth and kept all those things and God was blessing them. This guy finally just came in there and said, hey, what must I do to be saved? What do I do? And that's what, Jesus lived that way. He lived to peace. They had to have what he had. And so if we allow God to bless us and have that abundant life, it'll help us in the ministry. I have had people ask me, why are you different? Why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? And say, I want some of what you got. It'll help us. So God came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly in our Christian life, in our married life, and also in our ministry life. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for all these verses in the Bible that talks about life. And it's plain as day, plain as nose on our face. And Lord, help us to choose life. He that hath the Son hath it. He that hath not the Son hath not it. And we saw all these things that we need to do, Lord. So that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we ought to fear you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to live in a way that would be pleasing to you. I believe the service is Sunday. Lord, help us have many visitors. Lord, help us have people saved, baptized, join the church. Lord, just ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.